looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry, and I'm here for the very simple reason is to give you reasons to feel better. And I cannot imagine a better way of feeling better than using ours, our imagination. And I was thinking about how important imagination is, and I know that we love movies and graphics and really being entertained, but we have our own imagination in our minds, in our spirit, in our essence. And what feeds that? Like, are we making sure that we're feeding our own imagination and the people around us at any age, really? So today is a really special show to me because I don't often get to interview children's book authors, but I am today. And I'm so excited about this because I myself just love these stories, these books, these ways that really inspire the imagination. So as I invite introduce my first guest, Anthony Manna, I'm going to read your bio first and then I'm going to bring you on, okay?
Sure.
All right. Well, everybody, I'm so happy to introduce you guys to Anthony Manna. You have to, we'll tell you all the goodies in a minute, but Dr. Anthony Manna is an award-winning children's author, and retired professor of children's and adult literature, literacy education, and drama from Kent State University. Through his many experiences and through his passion as an award-winning educator of 50 years, Dr. Manna has inspired kids and teens around the world, like literally, to become confident, skilled, and happily motivated readers and writers. He has taught in schools and universities in Turkey, Greece, Albania, and the United States, where he immersed kids, teens, and young adults in powerful, multicultural books and entertaining, action-packed activities to help them enjoy the discoveries about themselves and others that great books and their own writing can encourage them to explore. Dr. Manna's newest release, I'm going to actually make sure I say this right. Is it Luca or Lucas? Because I want to say it that right.
Lucas.
It is Lucas. Aha. Okay, so Lucas and the Game of Chance. It's published by Mascot Books, and it is a reimagined Greek folktale illuminated with dramatic and evocative pen and ink drawings that provide an ideal backdrop for the intrigue that fills this touching story of human struggle, courage, and resilience. And Mr. Anthony Manis, he divides his time between Ohio and Arizona. Oh, I love that. Well, welcome to the show, Anthony.
Thank you so much, Lisa. It is an honor to be here. Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Aww. You're welcome. I must share this. Your book, first of all, I received it. It's beautiful. It's stunning, first of all. Really, just even the front cover, beautiful, beautiful illustrations. And you've got these awards, you know, all over them. But then I start reading it, and I was reading it out loud. I have to tell you, I read out loud to my kitty cats. And I was drawn, like, just right away. And my goodness, it just took me on such an adventure. I didn't want it to end, and I have to thank you. You kept it. Wow. We're going to find out how this story came to be because it has an interesting story in and of itself. But the way you wrote it, it had me right from I didn't want to put it down. I brought it to bed. I carried it around and made the cats listen to the whole thing. So.
Terrific. You'll have to introduce me to your cats.
yes, they have a vivid imagination. Well, here's where I would love to start with my question about this. This book is really, it's very specially inspired, but it's not just a story that you created yourself. It's a reimagined folktale. Can you share what that means?
Well, yes. I mean, I actually It's very much a new story because what I was doing was I was researching Greek folk tales and fairy tales because I was living in Greece for a while there and teaching there and I came upon a story called The Snake Tree. And if you and it's a story that has a lot of intrigue, a lot of conflict, and a terrible relationship between a husband and a wife, and the snake tree is part of that story. Very integrated into the fabric of the story is the snake tree. And so I started reading, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to take that basic economical story because folk tales and fairy tales do that. They get right to the center. They give you the action. They hardly sometimes even mention the characters' names, and then they go off and, bring it to a conclusion. And a lot of the times we're hoped that it's a happy ending. Well, I took that story and I said to myself, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it into a full-fledged fantasy. And so, I carved my way into it, and I dreamt up Lambros the snake. I dreamt up Lucas, the main character. I dreamt up the keeper of the forest is an invention. There was a sun in the story that I created. I developed a moon, the daughter of destiny, and sun is the daughter is the son of destiny. And so it started coming together and it started expanding. And sometimes, you don't know where it's going, where it's taking you, and even where it came from, because all of a sudden the snake tree, that folk tale, the snake tree disappeared, and this took over completely and expanded into, as I said, a full-fledged fantasy.
Yes. You know what, that word fantasy is so key because as I was reading it, I really felt like I was in a movie theater watching something, but and I've kind of pulled out some of these sentences just that you've created. And when you say fantasy, I'm going to read just one of this line that stood out to me. In fact, I repeated it multiple times just because it was fun to say. But I want to share this one because I think you actually touch on a lot of very current, mind you, current issues that we all have. So here's one, just as an example. It says, like Lucas's father, his mother steered clear of gossip that too often poisoned the village with spells of spite and distrust. And I had to read that out loud like so many times because it like what a great lesson just in there. Yes, and his mother's being that example of us staying clear of gossip because it does, it poisons the village. And then when you say spells of spite and distrust, it's so true, but there's that fantasy element of the spells. Like it's just filled with this it throughout the book. And I loved the lessons that are that you did you mean to have such valuable beliefs and behavioral kind of lessons throughout the book?
Well, I mean, I think, story uncovers lives, layers and layers of living, and living well and in harmony, or living badly in disruption, deception, and even hatred. And so what I was doing here, I mean, especially the relationship between Lucas and the snake, Lambros, because here's a mysterious supportive bond between Lucas and the other. The other meaning Lambros could be, that person from another culture that, that we will not accept or we will accept. And Lucas embraces the other. And they build, over time, they build trust, loyalty, a commitment as their friendship grows through mutual acts of kindness. And it filled me, to be able to pull that off, and at least I tried to pull that off,
You
as
did.
a constant reminder that it's possible in life and living to create this kind of support and And in the midst of that, also the intrigue. I mean, after all, it is a snake, and it happens to be a dancing, talking snake, you know. And the first time Lambros talks to Lucas, at the beginning, I was like, Lucas turns around and is like, flabbergasted. Oh, my. But then someone said to me, wait a minute. Pull back a little bit and not let him not be awed by it, but just like, oh, I guess he talks just the way he dances, just like us. You see, so there's another connection that he makes that it takes the other in and embraces the other and, you know, helps us also, I think, in the long run. I mean, that's what I like to talk to kids about is, you know, when they see these two characters relating, I often ask them, well, what brought them together? What is it, you know, that they have so much respect for one another? And children love to talk to me about this. You know, so that's one major theme, you know.
Yes, and I'll share this, and this is actually, however it may be that fate that I was reading this during this time, but I have a little frog, and in his tank is a little snail, Gail the snail, and she actually passed away while I was reading the story, and I was just like, oh my gosh, and I couldn't believe the timing, because as I was I don't want to ruin anything about the story, because I know people are going to read this, your story actually was so in tune with how I wanted to say goodbye to Gail, and that honoring of the relationship, and thanked her for being a part of this, you know, environment that my little Steve the frog was in and everything. So I really, was just even, it allows children and me, clearly I'm an adult, I'm reading this beautiful story. And there's another thing you have here, and I love this. And I would like to know if this is part of the folk tale, or was this your writing? One of the lines is, may courage be thy compass, caution thy guide, and good fortune thy reward. Was that you, or is that a folk tale?
That's me. No, that's definitely me. That's a refrain that I kept using, because it just was such a wonderful human foundation for Lucas coming back to reality, you know, coming back after his loss and his separation. And he needed some strength. He needed some encouragement and empowerment. And I think that's what I was going for, is to strengthen this young person, soon to be a young adult in the story, right? I mean, he starts off as a boy, a young boy, and then he becomes this young adult. And having gone through a perilous journey in an enchanted forest, you know, meeting some really weird critters, you know, that he eventually, you know, he needs to be strengthened, and that's what that's all about. That refrain does that, I think.
Yes, it does. I love that. It just really stood out to me. Now, about a folk tale, this book, absolutely. So Lucas and the Game of Chance. I'd love to comment on the illustrations by Donald, and I'm going to kill his name by a second. Babish? That right? Yes. Okay, good. He just does such you guys got to see this in the book. You'll have to pop onto Amazon there, purchase it, or can we get it from your website as well?
You can get it from mascotbooks.com.
Yes. Yes, mascotbooks.com. Please, you guys got to even just see the beautiful. It's more than beautiful. It's full of imagination. Like it just the drawings, illustration matched with the words. As I was reading your words, as you were describing something, I quickly wanted to look over to the illustration to see if I could. It was almost like a game. Like, oh, you know, you've written that this looks like this. Where is it? Can I find it? So it really anchored in this vision for me. I really felt a part of the story. And I think I'll ask you, what is the biggest thing that draws the children in to these stories?
I think the thing that I'm discovering when I go into the middle grade, so you're talking ages maybe 8 to 12, and then into middle school, early adolescence, I think what they're telling me is they are so absolutely involved in Lucas's journey and his search for recovery and hope. And they, you know, and what I do when I go into the schools is I take out the original illustrations, and I do it with a very dramatic fanfare, because I say to them, you know, I really have to protect these illustrations, because the illustrator allowed me to take them out of his studio. So let's look through some of these. And so in a way, I'm telling the story with the illustrations, and they are, you know, they say, well, let me see that one again. You know what I mean? So it's it's something that I started doing, and I like it a lot, because as you're saying with the illustrations, although they're, although it's not a picture book in that there aren't, you know, constant continual illustrations, there are 10 pen and ink illustrations, which I think carry the story forward.
Well, there we go. All right. So Anthony, I just want to repeat and share that with everyone that it's not just, the kids want to be involved in the journey. They are involved in the journey. And just sharing there was, when I was reading the book, when it came to the end, I was so involved in the journey that I was nervous about the ending. I didn't know if I was going to be brokenhearted or happy, or I was like, oh my gosh, am I ready for this? So job well done. I felt involved with this. And something I'd love to know is that, why Greek mythology? Why folklore? What is that for you?
Well, what a great question, you know, and I you know, it's interesting, because I come from a family of immigrants. And one of the ways that when I was growing up was the use of story, and hearing my mother's stories about her life in Italy, and my father's stories about his life growing up through the Depression. You know, I mean, living through the Depression, and so story was deep in the fabric of my upbringing. And so when I started studying literature, I was naturally drawn to these eternal stories, these ancient stories that bring in so much about how to live a life and how not to live a life, you know. And to me, they are eternal, and they come from so far away, and they get to the basics, the pure basics of living well or not well, happily or unhappily, you know, with greed or with loving kindness. And it just goes on and on. I mean, there's every single society in the world has had its oral stories. It's folklore, it's fairy tales, it's folk tales, it's mythology. So there's got to be something basic in human nature, in the human DNA, that needs story to help us survive.
Ooh. That was beautiful, actually. I love that. And I think that's, you nailed that one, because that's why we share the stories, we pass them on. And it's actually, I feel that that's the reason why the content really should have contained that, the seeds, the nurturing, the encouragement, as you say. And a question I'd like to last ask is, other than, you know, getting these wonderful books and purchasing from yourself and others, what would be the one thing that you would say would be the best thing to encourage children to continue using their imaginations and sharing the story? How can they best share the story and have it continue?
Well, that's such a great question. And I think the first thing is that I would love to have children be around really good teachers and really good parents and, you know, concerned adults and guardians who, you know, will talk to them about the book, will talk to them about the story, will talk to them about the poem, you know, and the work of nonfiction, an informational book, you know, and help them to understand, to get a little bit deeper each time, you know, and you know, not necessarily always asking questions, but explore it with them. So, for example, you know, turn to the page where you see the character. What is this character wearing, and why? What kind of an expression is that? So, in other words, I mean, You know, you're nurturing the imagination, because what you're asking the child to do is to look deeper, you know, and think, you know, and use critical thinking skills, in a sense, to enter into the story, you know, and hopefully being entertained by it, but also discovering a little bit about how it was all put together. And, you know, why that's important, I think, is because it nurtures the thinking skills, which we might also call the imagination.
Oh, I love that you said enter the story. It's like, and then you said entertaining, and I thought, oh, that feels like there's a connection there. I just love that. Now, where could, so right now, because I want to invite people to see what you're doing, be a part of, like, it. Can they access you, that you come in and share with their children what, like, how, what interaction can we have with you other than purchasing this wonderful book, that Lucas and the Game of Chance?
Oh, well, thank you. Well, people should get in touch with me. I mean, if you want to tell them website or my email, yeah. I mean, whatever, you know, I mean, that's, and I, you know, I'm available, you know, and I do go into schools, and I do speak. I don't like large assemblies. They make me too nervous. But I like going into classrooms with maybe two or three grades, you know, and just, you know, sitting around and exploring with them stories, you know, and whether it's my own picture books that are available, but also the, you know, other works of literature for children that I just adore. And so you know, people can contact me, sure.
Okay, well, I'm going to send them there right now. Well, not right now. I can let them know your email address. So it's anthony@anthonymanna, with two N's, anthonymannabooks.com. So anthony@anthonymannabooks.com. We'll put the link in on the Facebook page as well. And just, you could even reach out there. But I just have thoroughly enjoyed, I want to say a thank you. Thank you for reminding me how magical these books and some books can really be, and take you to places and just remind you that we have our own imagination. We can connect on so many different levels. You're doing beautiful, I don't even want to call it work, but I'll call it work. But thank you for doing such beautiful work in this, Anthony. Thank you so much.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much. And I just appreciate so much you bringing me forth. And, you know, may our paths cross again. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Everyone, stay tuned. We have another guest coming up, more on truly nurturing the imagination, as Anthony said that so beautifully. So stick around with us. We'll be right back.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
The student asks the teacher, "How do I experience transformation?" The teacher replies, "When the student is ready to receive deeper answers, the student then asks, 'How do I know what deeper questions to ask?' And the teacher replies, 'When the student decides to commit to a practice inviting transformation, level 2 questions will be revealed.'" Hi, I'm Tomas Garza, and as a teacher and host, I'm inviting listeners to enroll in the Mastery of Transformation by joining me on Decide to Transform, your bridge to Level 2 Answers, Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, on Om Times Radio.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance. Say hi, guys. When I adopted them, I discovered that they both have incredible personalities. Chance's sole purpose in life is to love and to be loved. Frankie is a little bit of a scoundrel and always entertaining. They're a little bit of a lot of things, but they're all pure love. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
Oh, welcome back, everyone. You're here with us at Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry. We have our second guest, and just continuing on this journey with children's book authors. And they have this magical fun to them. And my next guest here is just, she's taken, I love this. I love her book. It's more than a storybook. It's how to really make stories come to life and write your own from them. So I'm going to introduce you to my lovely Joanne. And Joanne, let me just read your bio to everybody first. And I should have asked you this before. Is it Gramlich or Gramlich?
Gramlich.
Aha, okay. All right, everybody. We have Joanne Gramlich, and she is a speech pathologist and the award-winning author of Talk, Play, and Read With Me, Mommy, which was inspired by her personal interest and passion for helping young children and watching them learn and achieve. She believes that every child has a voice and should be heard, and that it begins by empowering a child to tap into their imagination and skillful mind. Joanne feels her philosophy of making learning fun brings out the best in our children and helps them to explore their own creative abilities during their early years and going forward. She lives in Buffalo, New York, where she continues her writing, educating, yes, speaking, and creative endeavors. I love that. Hello, Joanne.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, my goodness. It's absolutely my pleasure. Okay, I'm going to share this with everybody, and I will share pictures. I have to tell you, I received Joanne's book, Talk, Play, and Read With Me, Mommy, and it was like an explosion of party fun. Like, this Joanne is just so committed to making things fun that, like, this the book was in with toys and fun paper confetti and bookmarks, and my God, Joanne, I felt like I won something. That's what happened.
I'm glad you like it. It really is fun. Again, the theme is making learning fun. So it all even begins with packaging, right? So it's very inviting. The colors on the front, the rainbow of toys with the little boy, you know, dreaming about everything a kid would dream about. So, and like I said, on the back of the book, there's also an image of toys. And right off the bat, before anybody opens up the book, there's an I Spy game. So you can look on the back of the book and peek at, you know, any of those images and grab a boat and say, you know, to your little one, can you find the little sailboat on the front of the book with the rain, you know, through the arch of the rainbow of toys? So right there, right in the beginning, like you said, a splash of fun. So
splash. Oh my gosh, I love it. It's a splash of fun. And I have to share this. So everybody, you've got to even just to look at this book. You're right, it's fun. And on the back, what really actually helped me, and I have a very active, crazy imagination brain all over the place, so I kind of feel like I'm a little kid. When I looked at the back, it's very colorful, but it's organized. So the front is an explosion, and then on the back, it is very organized in a way that I could see me. I'm just going to pick out the one. I love the little purple pig. Like, he's just so cute.
Oh, yeah, so cute.
And I would be like, if I was a little kid, going, oh, Mommy, can we read the book with the little purple pig? And it's kind of like just one you just fall in love with. But, okay, so this book, super – it's not – I would like everybody to know this. This book is literally how to talk, play, and read with me to interact. So this book isn't like a story. It's an interact. It's how to interact with children.
Right. And,
yeah.
Right, so it's it provides interactive activities to help enhance children's language skills. So therefore, it's pretty much all kinds of games and activities set up for the birth. It will start with infant, toddler, and then preschool levels. So it's activities, individual activities that can be played. Let's say, during daily routines, which are the majority of learning takes place during the daily routines.
Yeah.
So say, for example, a mealtime activity, you can talk about if we have the meals, you can talk about the colors that are on the plates, the shapes of the food on the plates. You can talk about trying to recall the food that you ate during the mealtime or snack time, meal time. Breakfast time. Just there's so many things to talk about, and it's a lot of colorful language. So that's for example, you know, what's going on in the book.
Well, that's another way to describe colorful language. Oh, I like that. Well, what I love too is that the two thing one big thing was I love it
one of them is ask, ask, ask. But I love that it's because you're going deeper and exploring. You're exploring the just even what you're looking at. And I'm going to throw this one out. One of the terms when I just heard or learned, you know, when people, a person say, what does it mean to love someone? And one of them is to be concerned or interested in. And one of your games, and I'd love for you to share a little bit about this, is called What Did You Say? And I don't know if you know that one so well as many of the other ones, but that
can't think of which one. Okay, so I don't know exactly which one that is, but because I you know developed so many, but I'm thinking what did you say as far as do you recall like? Oh, okay. So I'm trying to think of the premise of the core of the activity. I could probably
I can help you with this one. I love this one. It's
okay.
Sit next to your child. Tell him that you're going to play listen and tell game. Say a sentence that has important information for your child to remember. Like, this is so valuable. Oh my gosh. Because you know what? Like, when you do tell, oh my gosh, I can tell adults like later on, say, can you meet me here or do something like this? And we forget, like we're not putting it, like where do we put it in our brain? So if we can teach them, you know, as their children, we can say something.
Oh, okay. Now it's coming to me. So this activity is understanding, listening and recalling information. And the point of it is, again, this can be geared toward, you know, any age level in the sense of going from that toddler preschool level, but you're kind of targeting the children. You're asking them questions. You can start out with higher level questions or levels that aren't so high. You can modify it because you're really going to know how to go forward based on their responses. So if you're going to ask a child, you know, what state do you live in or what city do you live in, maybe he doesn't really know. Maybe he doesn't understand.
Right.
And you can make it a little more complex or, you know, bring it down to a basic level. But you're just, like you said, you're trying to share that information and let them process it and ask them and have them repeat it back and have them recall it. So then it's theirs. The information is theirs. And of course, any subject, you can talk about that with any subject. I think I mentioned birthdays, ages, yeah, addresses, phone numbers, cities and states. And it can be broken down to maybe something as simple as, like I said, one question, when is your birthday? And then if they don't remember, you're going to say, oh, your birthday's April 10th. When is your birthday? And it's just going back and forth with that kind of information.
Oh, that's really neat. Like you actually, yeah, you do tell them, you let them know what it is and then ask them right away. And they go, oh, that's so
fun. And then, yeah, and you start out, like I said, with one basic question, and then you can, add information. So when is your birthday and what year were you born? So now you're, providing or requesting a little bit of more information and looking for them to retell it. And if they don't know it, that's when you're going to provide it, and you're going to go back and forth till they remember it. So a lot of the kids, I was asking some kids, I think it was today or yesterday, about their birthday. And unfortunately, some of the friends that I work with, they come in and they do not know their birthday. So, or maybe possibly they don't even know the street they live on. But the point is, that's how you're going to, get that information for them to remember, by having those conversations, which are really important. So.
Yes. I remember when we were little, my sister and I, our parents always taught us that our license plate, because if we were ever, at a playground or park or whatever, and we can always get back to our car. Mind you, I feel like I would recognize the car more than the license plate, but, if we were
me too.
Asked by a security guard or if we had to go somewhere and we didn't notice it, station wagon.
Right.
Or something.
So, and speaking of that, so talking about recalling, I have a terrible sense of direction, I inherited from my father, I know that, so I'll go to a mall, if I don't track where I'm going in that mall, I will not remember which way to get out, where my car is, it's terrible, so you see, like, if I'm having issues like this, kids have issues, of course, like this, so that's why it's important to communicate so many different topics with your little ones so they can begin to understand how to live in our world. So, just think about simply organizing a book bag for a preschooler, going to preschool, trying to help them understand, put your pencils in here, put your books in here. It's a lot of information that we take for granted, but if you really break it down in a simple fashion, they can begin to process it, but you have to be so patient and just give them time because each kid learns at a different rate. Yeah. Some learn a little quicker than others, but they all can do this. So, for example, I worked with a child who came into my school with 6 words a minute for reading, which was pretty low. He was in third grade. And with me taking the time, I took him under my wing. I'm not a reading teacher, but, you know, I bought a book on how to teach your kid how to read. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the school year, he had 100 words versus 6 words.
He's
a poster child to say that everybody can read, everybody can communicate. It's just in different fashions and different ways, you know, based on their individual needs.
Yeah. I love that you said it's the give them time to process it. And I think that, oh my gosh, that's a big one. Because yes, I love colors going to help us process things and remember shapes and animals and relating them. But if we don't give them, like what you said, patience, and if we don't allow them, any of us, to have the time to process it, we can't. We just, it's not committed.
Exactly. And the thing is, everybody, you know, learns differently. There's also different learning modalities, visual learners, auditory learners, hands-on learners. Yes. So every child is taking things in differently. You know, some are more distracted than others. So especially in the home, you have to remember that you have to eliminate a lot of the distractions so your kids can learn during those daily routines. Like I said, there's so many opportunities, key opportunities to take in so much vocabulary, because especially between that birth and five, before they're going to school. And of course, that's when they're going to build their vocabulary to get ready for kindergarten. So daily routines, like I mentioned, the meal time, play time, bath time, dress time, that's where it all begins. Just taking the time to be patient and then also letting kids be present and take the time to be patient, and also let the kids be active in these daily routines. Like, for example, in the kitchen, I mean, children's little broom, sweeping the floor, right? A broom is available for children. There's so many different objects available for kids to be used in a functional way. Let your kid, you know, you're sweeping the floor, let your kid sweep the floor. There's so much dialogue that can take place just from that simple little task. So just imagine all throughout the day, there's so many opportunities to help your child, you know, build on his expressive and receptive language skills.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you brought up that, to be active. It's one thing, it's like, I want to call it, you know, one-dimensional learning. We read something, then two-dimensional, we learn in here. But you're right, interacting and participating. Now, I'm just curious, if I have your book in my hand, and let's say I have two little children, let's say, is it best that I spend the time just one-on-one with the child, or them both at the same time?
Well, of course, I do. I work with kids in school and after school. So of course, there's opportunities in both situations. So when you have a couple kids working, you're working with a few of your children at a time. Of course, they're going to be models. It's called peer modeling. Mm. So they can bounce information off each other. And as they're responding, you know, maybe the one child doesn't really know what a polar bear is, and maybe the other child does. So the one's going to express it, and the other one can, you know, listen and comprehend the information that he's hearing. And then they can think, pair, and share. They can share the information back and forth with each other. Once you realize, gee, they both have a little understanding. Now, Tommy, what do you think a polar bear is? And he can, you know, relay that information to the other child, and the other child can relay the information back. So, yes, definitely, definitely, if you have the opportunity to have more than one child, you know, in within the activity, definitely it is a positive. So, and then of course, one-on-one, I mean, one-on-one, it's still you plus your child, and you're bouncing the information back and forth. But like you said, there's benefits for both situations, but ideally in our settings, the majority of settings outside, you know, the home and what have you, it's a lot of interaction with other people. So it's definitely beneficial for both situations.
I love that. I love that you highlighted them both the situations. Here's another, I'm curious, the question again. I love this about how we learn. You talked about, I love this. I love that you have silly stories. And it's good to be silly. Oh, I'm going to ask you this. When I say silly, I can imagine being silly, like, you know, just, you know, saying silly things. And then there's, what about baby talk? Do you have, like, because you're a speech pathologist as well, what is the, I don't know what the word is. Is there a benefit to baby talk, or does it hold children back if we let them do it, or we do it to them? What's the difference between silliness and silly and baby talk and things?
Well, when you mentioned that, did you mention the silliness from one of the activities called silly
story?
Yes. All right. So I do that all the time. For example, let me just think. When I'm reading a story with the kids, just to keep them engaged. So let's just say we're talking about a cat. So the cat was hopping down the street. Now, maybe that's not a good thing, because maybe a cat. What I'm trying to say is that cats don't really hop; they walk, they run. So it makes the kids laugh. Or I'll say I'm trying to think about something in the back. You know,
something humorous.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something like I can't think right now what I'm trying to say. But
I'm gonna put you on the spot. No, oh my gosh.
No, it's okay. So let's say we're talking about cooking in the kitchen, right? I'm going to cook my meal on a sink and something like that. I'm going to wash my dishes in the bathtub. I'm going to brush my hair with a toothbrush. So what it does, it alerts you to see if they're really listening, because hopefully they're going to respond and say, Miss Gramlich or Miss Jojo, what are you talking? You know, and get them to say no, and they'll correct it.
So it does make them
laugh, but it also makes, you know, the activity a little more, I mean, of course, more fun because we're laughing, but it also gives them the opportunity to think and respond with the correct answer. So that way I really know they're engaged when I say something silly, and then they respond and they say, stop, wait, that's not right. So,
and they actually can point out what the answer, whatever. No, you wash your dishes in the sink.
Right, and you brush your hair with a brush. You don't use a toothbrush. So you understand, like, just twisting it up a little bit to make it more inviting, more fun, and, like I said, make sure they're on target and listening. So,
yeah.
And as far as the baby talk, well, okay, so, of course, when the kids are learning their sounds in the words as they're developing their sound repertoire, mm-hmm. They are going, so for example, some of the kids who have difficulty producing the R sound might say wabbit for rabbit.
Yeah.
And parents, when I work with them after school, they will, the real little ones I have after school, they will comment and say how cute it is. But we do want to try to model the appropriate sounds, mm-hmm. so then they can get that in their sound pattern repertoire.
Yeah.
So we can model like the like a growly dog sound for the R sound, or baby sleeping for the SH kind of thing like that. But I guess as far as the baby talk, you're always trying to model what's appropriate, but you're still going to hear with your, you know, 2, 3, and 4 year olds, if they're having delays with the sounds and words, the speech production skills, you're still going to hear a little bit of that, which it's okay because they're developing it. So, but you do want to try to model the appropriate way so they can get in their sound repertoire, because eventually they're going to want to be able to master sounds with their letters to get them ready for reading and literacy.
Yes, I love the way you're sharing this, because it gets really technical. We're talking about sound patterning and the formation of how the mouth shapes things. But you're at all the same time, you're saying, you know what, if we can make this fun and if we can make this a bond and a connection between the two people, all that other stuff, you don't need to know how technical it is, because it comes about through fun.
Right, exactly. I mean, the title of my book, Talk, Play, and Read, they're actually it is a message, and it's a simple message based on neuroscience brain development. Mm-hmm. And of course it's a very complex topic, but it's just saying, if you break it down to a simple message, it's basically saying stimulate your child through that birth through five through talking, playing, and reading, all kinds of engaging activities. But that's what's happening, so the brain can make the connections and grow and be ready for, like I said, the five-year-old or kindergarten and five-year-old level, so they're ready to take on more complex skills and tasks.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's
Awesome. And it's so personal. I know there's one that I do love. It's on page 98 if anybody has the book and they like to follow along. But it's called the Things I Like. And I think that's great when they say cutting and pasting and talking about pictures are fun activities your child will enjoy doing with you. Give your child some colorful magazines. It's almost like a vision board in any way. But ask them to cut out some of their favorite pictures and glue them to some paper. And, you know, I remember doing that when I was in school. And you don't like, it's kind of making you happy anyway. So the child is happy. They get to connect and relate. And then they get to come home and they get to show you what they've done. And
right.
It's just full of love.
Because they're creating a book. They're creating their own story about what they like. So yeah, I remember doing it too, you know, bringing magazines from home to school and coming up with it's kind of like a scrapbook. So and then eventually, you know, if depending on what point they are, I mean, they can continue on with the book because if they're not at the point of writing, well, at least at this point, they can glue the pictures on the book. And then when they learn to develop their writing skills, they can actually write the one word and just, you know, maybe it's a sailboat or a Barbie doll and then write that one word. And then eventually they can write an actual basic sentence about that picture. So it actually is an idea to keep it going. And it's something they'll value. They'll have it. So,
yes.
And of course, then share. And then, of course, the parents can read with them once they're at that point. You know, there's so many different things that creative ideas, like you said, making learning fun. There's so many different things. So, for example, like today in Buffalo, we don't have school tomorrow because we're having a snow day. So it just came on the news. We're having a snow day. And whenever this happens, I remind the kids, I said, all right, everybody, I was with the kindergarten and first grade, and I also had a little one after school, a three-year-old. I said, look outside, because right now it's just raining out. So I said, the snowflakes are falling, and what's our chance? And everybody starts going, Sammy, Sammy. So we know Sammy's coming down to do the snowball dance with his friends, and they're going to chant tonight the windows and look for him. And so you see, it's also a little finger play song that they can do.
Yes.
Just creative learning about snowflakes and reminding them every snowflake has a different name. Every snowflake looks a little different. And you can have so much fun singing these songs, a little jingle about it. So
these songs are the best.
Yes, finger play songs. Oh my gosh, so much learning in that. The finger play songs, I have, you know, of course, several in the book. Well, a handful, anyways. So they help the kids with their memory skills, socialization, attention. There's fine motor and gross motor skills that they're learning because, you know, the body movements and the actions of the songs. And then, of course, developing their vocabulary because of the repetition, acting out the song. And there's one more thing that just slipped my mind, and I can't remember what it was. Participation of the whole thing. So,
well, in this book, I have to share this with everybody. This book has, they're all not numbered, but they're titled, and every page has a different activity. Like, there's like 60, 70 of them, like 100. My gosh, there's so many. Like, it's strategies for developing speech and language skills. Like, this book is amazing. Now, I have to ask you, it has, first of all, share with everybody, it has won the Pinnacle Book Achievement Award. And my question to you, Joanne, is where would you like to see this book go? What's your dream for this book?
Well, I would love this book to get, I mean, ideally, it would be great to have this book in the hands of mommies at that prenatal stage or when they just have their baby in the hospital setting, because I hear so many stories of people when they first have their baby, they say they're putting this little baby in their car and they have no idea what to do. So I think it would be great as far as I know I have sisters that had babies, and I know they said they got care packages when they had the baby, their babies. So I think ideally it would be great because it's a great tool of how to start to engage, you know, engaging with your child beginning at birth, because I think I believe that a lot of people are not quite sure that it starts with stimulating the baby's senses, you know, soft rattles in front of their eyes, soft noises, turning their head to sound sources, just simple things that people might not be aware of in order to start communicating with their little one. Like, it's not, of course, it's not actual words, but that's how they're communicating at that, you know, birth through 5 months, and then 6 months they're babbling, and then they're beginning to produce jargon, imitating adult patterns, and then by one, they have a couple of words. But you have to make sure that they have, they call it the pre-linguistic skills before they can actually talk. So learning how to point to things, learning how to make gestures, learning how to turn take, learning how to share. There's so many different things. What's that? I'm sorry, what's that?
We've grown and gone through so much. I love the from babble to jargon to words to sentences to pointing to just like we are so accomplished.
I know. That's the basis of the book. If you read through it, you'll see that it's really pretty much going from a sound to a syllable to a simple CVC word like cup, to some, you know, one word vocabulary to two word phrases, simple sentences to more complex sentences, and then to conversation. But that's the point. That's how you get your child ready. It's really key for kindergarten. Right. So in literacy skills.
Well, I'm going to make a recommendation that I love your thing about getting it to moms who are literally in the hospital first times, brand new moms, because it even takes the moms, like it gives them an opportunity to learn how they're going to teach. So I want to say thank you for writing Talk, Play, and Read with Me, Mommy. And this is Joanne Gramlich. And you can, where can they get your book? I want to make sure that everybody knows.
Okay, so it's available at talkplayandread.com. And then it's also available at Amazon.com and BarnesandNobles.com.
Okay, perfect, perfect.
And I also wanted to mention, what else did I want to say real quick, that I am working on Talk, Play, and Read with Me, Daddy. So there's going to be a daddy book coming, hopefully, down the road. I'm almost done with it. It's just, you know, of course, I work two jobs and I'm busy, so but I'm doing the best I can to get it ready.
And you're a mom.
So because Yep, I just say because we want to include dads too. So
yes, oh, I love that. Thank you for that sneak peek coming up. Like, we're going to feature that. So thank you so much. I have just had the best time with both of you this whole show. It's so important to learn in such a fun way. So thank you, Joanne, so much for being a part of getting it there. Thank you so much. So Talk, Play, and Read with Me, Mommy is available. Everybody, Joanne Gramlich, and we just everybody just have fun. Have fun and connect and ask. Learn about other people.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Bye, Joanne.
Thank you. Bye-bye.